Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about something today that most people avoid. What is that? The big D word, death. And my guest today is a physician, Stanley Terman, and he's written a book that I think is really important. If you're someone that's dealing with the issues of an elderly loved one, if you have situations that you wonder, gee, with all the rules, the laws, and the regulations, what can we do? Peaceful Transitions is a publication that I think you would find not only very useful to have handy in your library to use for someone perhaps that's in your family that maybe, you know, of that age. I just had an email from a friend this morning that has someone that's 96 years old in their family and they're in their declining days. But what would you do as a younger person? What do you need to be informed about? I know this is a subject we don't like to discuss comfortably, but it's something that is important. And my guest, Dr. Terman, is going to share with us Peaceful Transitions, an ironclad strategy to actually die how and when you want. Dr. Terman, thank you so much for being with me today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Donna. Thank you for having me.
Your book, when I got it, I thought, my goodness, this is a subject that has been talked about sort of on the fringes, the outskirts of things.
Except when it hits the headlines, like with Terry Schiavo.
Right? And then we have something. Now, you really wanted this to be oriented towards what you say, 14 million U.S. baby boomers who are going to be challenged by Alzheimer's and other dementias, and for all who want to avoid, and I'm quoting this directly from the front of your book, prolonged pain and suffering or total dependence and indignity at the end of their lives. You are a physician that deals with this kind of subject matter almost daily.
That's right. I'm a psychiatrist, and I specialize in helping people plan for how they want their lives to end when that happens, and hopefully it's a long time from now. So they spend an hour, two, maybe three, getting it all set, then they can put it on the back burner, and they don't have to worry about it, and they know that they have given a gift to their loved ones. And also, when that time does come, my organization, Caring Advocates, which is a nonprofit organization, tries to help people actually facilitate their desires, because sometimes there's a formidable opposition. And by the way, the second edition of Peaceful Transitions will be out in about a month's time.
Oh,
and
my.
You know, and I've actually changed the subtitle, still called Peaceful Transitions, still directed towards 14 million U.S. baby boomers, and of course all around the world. The situation is not confined to America. But now the subtitle is called A Successful, Compassionate Strategy for Life's Final Challenge. And sometimes it can be a challenge not just because we have to meet it ourselves, but because what we want can be opposed by those people who, say, have different ideas and they want to impose them upon us.
Oh, that is so true. And I've known many clients that have just their children. That, you know, maybe they have entered into that level of dementia and their children have literally had to battle to honor the wishes of what that person wanted to have done at a certain time in their life. Now, let's really, you use the word ironclad.
Right.
With the way the laws are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have been situations where people maybe have had a living will and they have left all of the details, this is what I want done, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe they have an illness or they just, you know, they just thought that when they made their will, this is the way it was going to be treated. They'd be honored and respected and nobody would bother with them, but that's not the case.
That's right.
And a number of cases. Tell us a case about a situation where people, I mean, and you list a number in your book, but what is your favorite describing the wishes of someone and then it absolutely went out the window? The physicians didn't go along with it? I mean, it's just a nightmare. What happens?
Okay, well, nothing is certain in life, as they say, except death and taxes, and we're not talking about taxes.
Right.
Ironclad, of course, comes from that wonderful metaphor that became a practical strategic implementation where the wood ships would be clad in iron so that the bullets would just be bouncing off of them instead of sinking the ships. So what we do is we try to make it ironclad. That doesn't mean 100% perfect, and it depends upon where you begin. Very currently, I have a patient in the nursing home and in a skilled nursing facility, and the literature shows that if someone of her degree of determination and physical status, and if she wanted to not prolong her dying and refuse food and fluid, then she could expect a very peaceful transition within 2 weeks. 85% of people do die within 2 weeks. Hunger is almost never a problem. Thirst is, and it's a problem that can be treated very effectively. I myself fasted two occasions. One occasion was for 4 days, one was for five. I learned how to apply the thirst control agents so that I could better advise my clients. I knew what I was talking about when I was saying that thirst can be ameliorated. And so, but what happened in this nursing facility was that they said, well, we are obligated to continue to offer the patient food and fluid. That's fine. Offer them. But what they didn't tell us was that they undertreated her symptoms of dry mouth. They actually hid the oral spray that I had prescribed so that she couldn't spray her mouth with this beautiful little mist that took away the symptom of thirst temporarily, but you could use it every 5 or 10 minutes if you wanted to, and so on. So by under-treating her thirst and by under-treating her anxiety and by continuing to give her liquid, as they were legally required to do, they said, and I don't argue with that, what happened? So instead of dying within 2 weeks in a peaceful way without any fights, she's still going right now today on her 36th day. That's what can happen. But the ironclad strategy takes this into consideration because there's a form that you can fill out where you say, these are the facilities to which I do not want to be transported. And you don't go to a hospital who acknowledges that they have this policy where they won't go along with your desires. Unfortunately, some hospitals, some skilled nursing facilities do not admit this ahead of time. What can you do? There's still something she could do. I asked her son if he could just be at the bedside 24 hours a day and make sure that he continues to, if the nurses won't, he will give her the spray every few minutes as needed. And, of course, there's always a possibility of transferring her to another facility or to home if need be. But usually there's always something that could be done. They took the course. Well, it'll just take a little longer. And you know what? I don't think that was all bad in this particular case because she got to see her favorite niece and had a wonderful, wonderful time visiting with her. And if she had died within 2 weeks, she would have missed that wonderful visit. Mm-hmm. So I don't pass judgment about what should happen. Maybe this was the way it was meant to be.
I agree. Having known very good friends and family that have passed away in various circumstances, I really empathized with a lot of the things in your book. One was especially very special to me. It was a very dear friend I had known. And cancer was what affected her. And fortunately, she had a substantial family that stayed around her, and she was in a hospice situation. And they made very sure that her mouth stayed comfortable. And just like you said, it took about 2 weeks.
Right.
They didn't feed her food, but she was comfortable. And I think that this was very important, and I had... This was a young woman. This was not an older woman. And then I had a very, very dear friend who was in her 80s when this happened. And fortunately, she had a daughter-in-law who was a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And they tended her at home and made sure she was comfortable.
Right.
And she went very peacefully. So
right.
When I got your material and I was reading this and I thought, gee whiz, as a person, as an individual, I would really want it, and I know my husband and I both
mm-hmm.
have wills that have living wills, but we have become aware because of other families we've talked to.
Right.
Where the desire of the individual, when they say, don't put me on any life support systems, don't do anything like this to me, we don't want it, just let me go. Just,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's just how we feel about it. And we want to get
Well, you have to be more specific than that.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to remember, Donna, that a living will is merely a set of instructions to a physician that is really interpreted as a request that can be interpreted. And what I do is I actually combine the living will on one side of a sheet of paper with a set of physician orders that put them into an actionable form that all other healthcare providers have to follow on the other side of the sheet of paper. And then you have the law and the power of the profession working for you simultaneously. The law says that if the patient's known wishes are clearly and convincingly expressed and they are consistent over time, then they must be followed or the physician and the institution will lose their legal immunity and they can be sued. But if they, in good faith, follow it, they do have immunity. And even if they make a mistake, if there was another document found subsequently, they cannot be held liable. On the other side of the piece of paper, there's the physician's orders. And that's where the authority, that's where the rubber hits the road. The physician signs the orders. This is what shall happen. For example, do not resuscitate. Do not intubate. Do not hospitalize unless it's needed for comfort care. Do not treat with antibiotics unless it's needed for comfort care. And while I'm there on that theme, everything we do is for comfort care. Nothing is ever withheld for comfort care. And then the final order of the four, and this is something which is so important for patients who are in advanced dementia, mm-hmm. who depend upon others to feed them, is that do not assist eating and drinking. Now, we never withhold food and fluid from someone who wants to eat and drink, from someone who can feed and drink themselves,
mm-hmm.
of course. But when you get to the stage where you are in a very severe state of advanced dementia, and you no longer have the capacity to make good decisions for yourself, then you know what you have to do? You have to say that there is a set of criteria, that if I meet these set of criteria, then I no longer want people to assist me manually in the process of eating and drinking. And what that means is that people who are skilled, who know how to put the puree that's thickened just to the right degree, at the very, very end of your tongue, the very posterior inside mm-hmm. part of your tongue, so that you can swallow by reflex, they can keep you going that way, even though you haven't consented to that. And that, I believe, is a medical procedure, and even if you consider it and you argue it that it's basic care and it's not medical, it's still an intrusion on your body, and you have the right to refuse it. But very, very few people take the opportunity to refuse it in advance. And this is what I offer in my book, to say, think about this. Do you want to prolong your dying in advanced dementia? It could go for 1, 2, 3 years or more.
That's right. It could exhaust
all your finances, all your loved ones' emotional and physical and financial assets. And you have no, during this period of time, you have no appreciation for the sacrifices that other people are making for you. And you haven't even given consent to be subject to this skilled assistance with oral feeding.
That's true. And I know of a family. I think of this woman, and her father was a strong Norwegian. And he
mm-hmm.
lived for a number of years with advanced dementia and was forced to take medications, was forced to eat, and all of these things, and she said it was just tragic because his mind was totally gone, and he and his wildest dreams would never have wanted to live on that way.
Right.
And she had no control over any of it because they hadn't given any thought to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know of someone else whose mother lived to be 106 years of age.
Oh, my gosh.
And for the last 10 years of her life, she had been from her, I'd say about 91 or 92, had been going into this level. And at 106, the doctors of the facility where she was, talking to this friend of mine and his brother, wanted to do something to prolong her life, and they both looked at the doctors and said, "You're out of your mind. She's 106. She doesn't want to be here anymore. She can't do anything herself. She's just like a living vegetable."
Right.
So, no, let her go.
But it's not so much the age as it is.
It's a condition.
What is the state of your mind? Can you recognize your loved ones? Can you engage in meaningful conversations? Do you know who you are? Can you remember your past events that are important to you? Can you have some concept of what the future is? I mean, these are the important things that make us uniquely human beings. And if we lose all that, then we haven't died, but our personhood has ceased to exist.
You have a doctor, Ferdinando Mariachi,
right,
who makes a statement in here because of his experience, and I noted that it was quite significant. He said, you must have in large print, if you want to receive certain kinds of medical treatment but want to refuse cardiopulmonary resuscitation, you must have a DNR order saying full code except for cardiac arrest.
Exactly.
Now, this is fascinating to me. Here are doctors who are dealing with death on a daily basis like you do, and these are things that they're saying. This is the law, and if you go into certain environments, certain religious orders of their health care systems, they'll go directly against you. They'll say, we do not permit this. We're going to continue to do what you're doing. So you really have to be aware of the documents that are signed. If you're a patient advocate, you have to be aware. This is so important.
And I want to emphasize that the importance, when I say the goal is a timely and peaceful transition, the word timely means two things. It means neither prolonged nor premature. And Dr. Fred Meraki and I believe very strongly that if you're going to wear a DNR medallion on your necklace, it should say not only do not resuscitate for the heart and the lungs, but it should also say do treat otherwise. And Caring Advocates supplies medallions that say exactly that, plus other things that you may want to have on that medallion. And similarly, if you don't want to linger a long time in advanced dementia to prolong your dying when your personhood has ceased to exist, you may very well want to exist if you're a happy individual enjoying pleasures in the here and now, albeit with some diminishment in cognitive thinking and ability in the middle stages of dementia. You know what you can enjoy? Finger painting, sing-alongs, being touched gently, eating good food, and just having attention and caring. All that can be very valuable to someone who's in the middle stages of dementia, but you know what happens every day? People say, oh, he got pneumonia, he has dementia, it's an irreversible chronic disease, it will never get better, it is definitely progressive. Let this be a message from a supreme being or our chance, our opportunity. Let him die now. Let's not treat him with antibiotics and hydration for pneumonia. Let him die now. First of all, pneumonia is not a very pleasant way to die. It's much more peaceful to die from medical dehydration. And secondly, this person could, in a week or so, return to his previous state of happy functioning in the middle stage of dementia. So once you draw a line in the sand, you say, I don't want to prolong my dying beyond that, you're simultaneously saying that you do want to live until that point.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's cover a couple of things here. There was a big furor, news furor about Oregon, and I'm up here in the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
Was the physician-assisted dying. And you know, up here in the Pacific Northwest, the support of that was just phenomenal.
Right.
they just said, absolutely, if somebody wants to have physician assistance, go for it. I mean, this is just the general disposition of the people in the Northwest. And the actual amount of people that have actually taken advantage of that is tiny. I mean,
a few dozen a year.
That's
and compared
all.
compared to tens of thousands of people in late stage or advanced dementia.
Mm-hmm.
In order to take advantage of the law that exists in Oregon for 10 years, and they've done a terrific job, and also Washington since last March, it's just in its second year right now. You have to be very ill, but not too ill.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be too ill because you have to be able to, first of all, be in your completely competent right mind. You can't be depressed. And who isn't somewhat depressed when they are terminally ill?
Oh, sure.
And you have to be able to make decisions, medical decisions. You have to be able to grab a hold of a pill or a set of them, put them in your mouth, and swallow. A lot of people are too sick to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
But for sure, you cannot be demented. The problem is that there's a lot of political activism behind legalizing physician aid in dying. They can mobilize a lot of money, they can get a lot of publicity, and yet what they're leaving out is the fact that education for people who are destined to die in as they suffer from advanced dementia outnumber these people hundreds to thousands of fold.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to handle that problem is to establish a set of criteria ahead of time. When you tell your future decision makers, if I meet these criteria, then I want natural dying. Natural
mm-hmm.
dying is no life-sustaining treatment, no food and fluid by any routes, by assistance, although if I can feed myself, that's fine, and all the exquisite, best available comfort care that's possible. And you know, the best way to establish that criteria is, in my book on page 52, I list all the criteria for advanced dementia that might be relevant for drawing that line to say now's the time for natural dying. And I used to give that page, I used to copy it and give it to my patients and say, look, the things that are really important, why don't you circle? And anything you don't agree with, why don't you cross it out? And it was complete enough so that really, to tell you the truth, no one ever added anything to it. It was so hard for people to take a look at one page of criteria. It was so overwhelming. The human mind is just not equipped to take a look at all those facets of potential problems all at one time. So instead, I have a new vehicle. It's called My Way Cards. And this is a set of 47 cards, and you sort them twice. First, you say yes or no. And of the yes, you say these are the ones that are most important. And by the time you finish sorting the cards, you have a wallet card. That wallet card becomes your My Way card, living will, that is uploaded to a national registry that can be accessed immediately by fax or internet download anytime. And that 800 number and the website are on the medallion that you can order. And it's a complete package from A to Z so that you can get your wishes fulfilled.
And that is so important. And for those of you listening, again, this may sound like a subject that, oh, do we want to talk about this? Yes, because in our world today, there is so much difference in belief systems, et cetera. But why not make your choice? And you can always change your mind if you want. But
absolutely.
If you make your choice, even when you're younger, it can make a difference about what it is that you want to do. And Dr. Terman, I know that we can change our minds. I mean, this
Donna, you're absolutely right. As long as you are competent, you can change your mind. You can say, I don't want my sister to be my proxy. I want my brother or my daughter to be my proxy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this criteria to be considered as important anymore. I want another criteria that's more important, and so on. But you know, when you can't change your mind, and that's why it's called a durable power of attorney for healthcare. When you trust someone to make the decision for you, and that is durable beyond the time when you have lost competence. Because here's what happens. Sometimes someone is severely demented, but they will grunt and moan and open their mouths and point to a glass of water. And if someone is in the room They may be a very religious person, a very caring person. Maybe they're a person who's not really knowledgeable about advanced dementia, which leads to unrecognized pain and suffering because the patient can't complain and may have something that's really bothering them and it's untreated, and therefore it really is a great source of discomfort. So that person may say, how can you deny this person food and fluid? They should have that. And their argument may hold up by some judges who also are not very sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what you can do. You can make your choice now so that when you have lost competence, that decision becomes irrevocable. You can say, once I have lost the capacity to make decisions, and once I have met all the other criteria that is for advanced dementia, then listen to these instructions now. Don't listen to me later on. Because otherwise, what you're doing is you're giving someone who has no mental competence whatsoever the authority to just completely disrupt your well-laid plans. Now, it's not for everybody. Some people don't want to do that, but it is for me, and I always try to explain to people what the options are. If you make it irrevocable, then you're much less likely to have a prolonged dying with increased pain and suffering.
You've also given a lot of information regarding different organizations, how many times their determinations of what they're going to do has total reflection by what their funding is,
mm-hmm.
and various things there, so you go into that detail. But it's a very compassionate understanding. You have outlines of material, how to look at power of attorney, how to deal with proxies, because the fact is there are so many people living, and it's going to be more and more, living to be over 100 years of age, and this is something that can be very, very challenging. And I think what you have done is touch on a subject that for most people is so scary. And yet, when they become involved, like this one family I know back east, their mother is close to 100 years of age and has reached a point where the member of the family said, we must put you into a facility.
There's right.
We just don't mm-hmm. have any choice here.
Mm-hmm.
And this individual has power of the attorney. And so they were advised, this is a wonderful caring staff, they deal with this every day, and they said, we understand your request, we know what you've got here, and everything is there in black and white. And so
right.
they're very supportive. And in fact, they right. had to be on a waiting list, believe it or not, because
of course.
A big facility. There's a lot that goes into this.
HBO did a wonderful series on Alzheimer's, and it's still available on the web. You don't have to wait for it to be rerun. It's called HBO.com/Alzheimer's, and they have
mm-hmm.
about 6 hours of what was primetime showing initially. They did a survey at the same time. 54% of people say that their lives either were or are now affected by Alzheimer's or
yes.
related dementias.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to increase threefold by mid-century. That means everybody is going to be affected. And yet, it's still the closet within the closet. The
mm-hmm.
closet is we don't want to talk about death, and we don't want to talk about the most cruel, longest, most burdensome kind of dying there is, which is taking away the essence of your own personality in such a slow, insidious, long-term way. The closet within the closet is what advanced dementia looks like. Even the Alzheimer's Association, they want to emphasize the positive thing. Let's try to find a cure, a prevention, a better treatment, more support for those people who have it. And I think all that is absolutely wonderful. But as far as I know, I'm the only fellow out there who's trying to educate people what they can do so that that last and final stage of dementia does not continue on in a prolonged way that becomes a huge burden to the patient, to the family, and to society.
Well, Dr. Thurman, it's just been delightful having you on the air, and I know we've talked about a subject matter that deserves attention and is gaining more and more attention because of the fact that we have more and more people living so much longer. And I want people to know that there is a website, caringadvocates.com.
Or .org.
.org, excuse me. caringadvocates.org, and he also has an 800 number that you can call, 647-3223, 800-647-3223. This is a subject matter we need to pay attention to, because someone in our family, someone we love dearly as a friend, we just never know when this kind of information can be helpful to the people that mean so much to us. And who knows? We ourselves could be affected. You just don't know. So being prepared can give us an understanding and a positioning of personal empowerment, and that is very important. Dr. Terman, thank you so much for being my guest. It's been a delight having you today.
Donna, your idea about personal empowerment is absolutely key, because you want to have your personal empowerment continue even beyond the point at which you can no longer speak for yourself. And that's why you want the finest crafting of your living will and other advanced care planning directives. It fits entirely with your attitude, and I appreciate your courage to have me on the program.
Thank you, Dr. Terman. Again, website, caringadvocates.org. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I know we have a caller waiting, but if you'd like to write this number down and keep it handy, you can call in and chat with me now as well, 888, which is a worldwide number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And before I go to our first caller today, I want to remind those of you who are in the Pacific Northwest that what was used to be called the Boeing Parapsychology Expo is now being changed. Its name is the Emerald Spiral Spring Expo. Saturday, March 27th, I, along with a number of other vendors and speakers, are going to be appearing at this wonderful event from 9 in the morning until 5 in the late afternoon at Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. Now, if you would like to know more about this, go to emeraldspiral.com. That's emeraldspiral.com, and you'll find all the details and directions on how to get to this wonderful event. And I'm going to be there. You don't really have booth numbers there. This isn't a huge, huge event like the women's show. This is a smaller event. But, oh, it's the nicest event. You just can talk with all of these wonderful people that have all kinds of expertise, you know, with the psychic area. But the other vendors, the jewelers, and the other people that come in are all local, and they are just fabulous. So if you can, come on out and join us on March 27th. And go to emeraldspiral.com. I'm going to have a booth there. I'll have a whole bunch of books again. And also, I'll be doing many consultations. So I look forward to seeing you there. Stop by. Say hello. I'd love to be able to chat with you. Well, let's go to our very patient caller. And I want to welcome you to the show. First name or initial. And where are you calling from?
Oh, hi, Linda. Hi, Donna. This is Linda calling. I live in Salai Beach, Florida.
What beach?
Salai Beach. I'm a regular listener, Donna. I've talked to you several times, and I had the pleasure of talking to your husband. I was just telling the man that answered the phone, I said, both of you and your husband, Freeman, you're just dear people. And I know you have the gift, Donna, and I try to solve things on my own through meditation and prayer. I don't have the answer to this. There's someone I cared about for many years, and we were talking, and I know when someone blows up, there's a reason behind the reason. And he swore at me, and I'm not going to allow that. He apologized right away. He called me back. And I wanted to ask you about this person. His name is Paul. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to figure it out. Or is there going to be someone different in my life? Because he is a dear man, and he doesn't use that kind of language.
What happened with Paul was a gift for you, believe it or not. It is showing you that Paul has some issues that are not resolved. And what you saw was a frame, if you will, of reality. This is a man that really would not make, let's say, a good live-in partner or spouse. I think as a friend, that's fine. But you're trying to build him into something he's not, and you were given a very good dose of reality. And this is something that you need to look at, and the fact that it was not acceptable to you, and of course he called to apologize, which was appropriate. And you could say, well, you know, this is just one instance, but this is showing you that he is a person that has not found peace within himself. And you need to make it okay that he's just who he is, and you let it go, and every once in a while, if you want to go out for a cup of coffee and maybe have some pancakes for breakfast or something, that's great, but release it. Let it go. Don't try to possess it. Don't try to make it into anything, and allow for someone else to come into your space. And the thing I believe that you are being shown here, Linda, is that you can have friendships with men. And you do not have to make them a romantic interest. They can be good friendships. In our culture, in the Western culture, this is not encouraged. This is not something that is supported. And I think men and women both miss out. It's almost as if we've got to have this total sexual orientation, and if it's, you know, it's sort of like the Cinderella deal. If you think this person's your prince, this is it. You don't let anybody else into the picture. And that's not the way it goes. I just think you need to not be stressed over this and be at peace with who you are and recognize that this could be a friend that you could maintain a friendship with without any ties or attachments. And that's perfectly all right. It's not good
or
bad.
Well, I was his friend, Donna, for about 7 years, so we weren't really rushing things. And I was just apologizing because I hate when people use the word whatever and it sounds so sarcastic. And I said, oh, I'll call you whenever. And I was just, and I said it in a sarcastic way and I realized, so I apologized and he went off on me. So, no, I don't take that lightly. And when he went off on me, I thought there's a reason behind this, but I'm just because there's another reason doesn't make it acceptable. So I have moved on, and I would like to be his friend, but I don't know. I think he's a loner. That's the best way to say it. I don't want to say anything nasty about him.
Well, you don't need to. It's okay. This is a man.
Yeah. Well, it hurt my feelings very bad.
Well, why are you feeling bad? You don't need to feel badly. You have to ask yourself why you're feeling badly. Is it because the illusion was shattered? The
make believe? No,
it's because he's just being human. So you
he
really
swore at me, Donna. Mm-hmm. He swore at me, and I'm a very loyal person. It's very hard to hear that.
I know. But you're giving more power to the words than to the real reality of what's going on here. You are stuck in a patterning that's just coming up here. It's not good or bad. It's just a patterning. He gave you, shift your perspective. The fact that he swore, okay, that's showing you something there. And that's okay, all right. You've known this man for 7 years. There were many signatures of truth that were written out along the way. You did not want to pay attention to it because you kept holding on to an illusion. When that illusion was shattered, then you go, wow. This is something, this really hurts my feelings. Don't let it hurt your feelings. Just say, gee whiz, you've given me a gift. Thank you. We can be friends.
Mm.
But that's it. And then just move on. This is not a horrible person. And you're not 4 years old. You're a mature woman. This was something he did where he just showed the fact that he does not have a very good feeling about himself or where he is, and so when he gets to feeling vulnerable or he doesn't have something that he understands, he uses expletives. Well, you could put expletives all over a wall. It doesn't mean anything. They're just expletives. It's what you do with them. So he may have made remarks because these are remarks that he utilizes that creates certain results. But he hasn't outgrown those. So you need to be the one that's mature enough to say, okay, this is the way he is. That's okay. But don't let it hurt you, hon. It's done. It's over with. Move on. Move on, Linda. Get past this.
Very wise, Donna. I thank you because you help me to look at things differently. You're so balanced. You're so full of truth. You know what? And I'm very comfortable what you're saying because that does make sense. No one's a winner here. If you don't move on, accept it. And I did know, Donna, that he was blowing up, but he was blowing up for another reason, but I couldn't figure it out. And you put it in perspective.
Yeah,
but I want you to know, Donna,
I'm just not
looking.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
Don't try to figure these things out. It'll all of a sudden pop right in. It's really very simple. Lots of times people just have habits, hon, and they don't know how to let go of those habits. So it's sort of like an old tape recorder inside the psyche. And once a button is pushed, it's like diddle, 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 boom. That's what you got.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I think if you were to ever talk with any of the other women that were involved in his life, they'd say, you know, he was doing that 20 years ago. He hasn't changed a whit. So aren't you fortunate that you had this gift of awareness and circumstances put in front of you in such blatant expression and you go, uh-oh, gee, I got to take off the rose-colored glasses. In fact, they busted the glasses really well, which is good. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad for you. I really, really am. And so have joy in your life and move on. There's a door that is opened, an opportunity, and just allow life to bring to you, write your own script. You don't need to hope that something's going to happen. Just have the expectation and don't worry about how it's going to come into your life.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true, Donna. You are so right. It's just expected to happen. You know, Donna, thank you so much because he is a dear man, but this did make me look at this. He's never been married. He's afraid of getting in a relationship. He was struggling with me. He had feelings for me. And he asked me right out, give him about a month because he's so afraid. And I had a feeling the blow up was he felt like he was in a corner and he had to make a decision.
You can feel all you want, hon. Let it go. Move on. Bless him and just be grateful to him. I'm going to have to go on break, dear.
Yeah, he doesn't want to bother now. He just, like, I think that was his release. He doesn't want to bother with me. He doesn't want to call. He doesn't even want to talk about it. He doesn't want to hear my feelings, nothing.
Linda, I'm going to have to go, hon. I've got to go. We've got to go to break. Okay?
Thank you, Donna.
You have a wonderful
Bye-bye.
Evening now. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Quick like a bunny, I want to remind you, if you have a story about a paranormal experience, near death, talking to ghosts, or having people from the other side come in and give you messages, whatever it might be, something that has for you been a life-changing experience, I'd love to hear about it. I'm putting together a book regarding the stories that people tell me about their personal experiences, and the reason the book is being put together, and I'm allowing a year. I had someone contact me today say, when is it going to be published? It'll probably be a year before it is published. But I'm taking stories from people now, and I've received some wonderful stories. And you are welcome to send yours in. I'm aiming for 100 stories. So if you have that special story that you'd like to share with me, send it to Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com. And be sure in the subject line you put the Donna Sebo Show or story for your book or something like this that will call my attention to the fact that you're sending me a story. Put that in the subject line. And I would love to have it. Be sure you also put in your contact information. And for those of you that are up in Alaska, I'm going to be in Anchorage the 12th through the 14th, and then, in Fairbanks, not in Anchorage, but in Fairbanks, April the 12th through the 14th, and then I will also be in Anchorage from 14th to the 17th, 17th, I believe it is, or the 18th, I have to look it up, for some reason it's just gone out of my head, but I'll be there. So if you'd like to set up time with me, give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852. Now, I want to let you know who's coming on tomorrow. We have a great lineup this week. Cell phones and the dark deception. Carly Cooper. Her story is an incredible story. When I got the book, I was astonished at the information that she's got in this book about cell phones. We have so many pieces of equipment that are sending out radiation effects, and we need to be educated and aware about the right way to use them so we won't have them. I'll even share with you tomorrow a story a nurse told me about. Blew me away. So anyway, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Carly Cooper, cell phones and the dark deception. And then St. Paddy's Day is coming up on Wednesday, and we're going to be traveling to Ireland via Mr. Thomas Rice, who is an Irish lad himself, and his book is called Far From the Land. And this is his story about him growing up in Ireland. It's absolutely wonderful. Then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Sylvia, who runs Sylvia's Haven. This is a facility for abused women and children. And this is her story. Sylvia is in her 80s, and she's still going strong. She has helped over 1,300 women and children, battered individuals, make a life and have their lives turn around. Great gal. And then, hey, get ready to make some plans for summertime, because we're going to be talking about arts in America. Jeffrey Compton is going to be my guest, and this book is loaded with wonderful information about places around the country. So we're going to have a great afternoon on Friday, traveling to different places and finding out about the special events that go on that you can enjoy, dependent on where you are. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you quickly today a homemade pancake mix. Now, it may sound sort of silly to share a pancake mix recipe with you, but this you make up, and you make up a big batch, and if you're on a budget and you say, well, I used to buy these prepackaged mixes, but I just assume not, I think this is wonderful to know about, because you can fix it up, you can put it in your pantry, you can have it all ready to go and dish it out, and it can be as healthy as you want it to be. And then I'm going to share some tips with you here about how you make the fluffiest pancakes that you could ever want to make. You know, you see them in, you see them on television where they're just golden and they're nice and light and airy. How many times have you fixed pancakes where you swear they could have been used for Frisbees? The dough was just so heavy. Trust me, I've done it. Those are not good pancakes. Well, now here's your homemade pancake mix. You need 9 cups of all-purpose flour. 9 cups of all-purpose flour. You need a cup of sugar, quarter of a cup of baking powder, one teaspoon of salt. All you have to do is mix that all together, store it in an airtight container at room temperature until you're ready to use it. And what you do before you use it, you stir the mixture in its container and lightly spoon it into measuring cups, and then level it off by using a straight edge, you know, a knife or straight edge spatula, whatever you prefer. Now this mix, this homemade mix, makes up about 10 2/3 cups, enough to make 4 batches of pancakes. Now, when you make your pancakes, you've got your mixture all put together. Remember, homemade pancake mix is 9 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 cup of sugar, 1/4 cup of baking powder, and 1 teaspoon of salt, all that mixed together. So let's say you Sunday morning, or maybe a special dinner you want to fix for the family. It's quick, it's easy. Maybe have some bacon and sausages or whatever your favorite accompaniments are. Maybe you just want some fresh fruit with it. However you want to do it. Take 2 2/3 cup of homemade pancake mix. Have 2 whole eggs. I prefer the jumbo myself. You need 1/4 cup of butter melted, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and then the super duper secret ingredient is 1 3/4 cups of seltzer or club soda. That's it. That's what makes them fluffy. And all you have to do is put your pancake mix in a large bowl, make a well in the center, and in a separate bowl, whisk together your eggs, your butter, your vanilla. Then you mix that into your pancake mix and just, you know, be moistened. Add the seltzer and whisk it just until it's blended and smooth, and then start cooking. And that seltzer just makes those pancakes as light as air. And, you know, you can add nuts, you can add wheat bran, you can have all kinds of good things that you put in your pancakes. It's fun. It's a great thing to do. Well, I know we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back with you bright and sassy tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Take care, be well, and be grateful. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.